Hi, it's Jeff, host of the podcast. Imagine a world where planning your books is as fun as writing them, where plotters plot in heroic harmony and pantsers organize without overwhelm. Here's the thing, that world exists. Plotters and pantsers alike love the visual outlining and story Bible software Plotter, now available both online and as a web app. Named the number one outlining app for productivity by Kindlepreneur, Plotter turns outlining and organizing your books into the creative process it's supposed to. Visit plotter.com/RW today. That's plotter.com/RW today. And experience the difference yourself. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Penny Hall, author of the new novel, The Invincible Miss Cust. Author Audrey Blake wrote about the novel, a vivid, compelling story of a daring and determined woman, emotionally rich and brings light to an incredible life and legacy. Penny, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. Well, if someone listening hasn't yet heard about your new novel, The Invincible Miss Cust, how would you describe the novel?
It's historical fiction based on the real life of Aileen Cust, who was a young woman who was born in Ireland in 1868 to an aristocratic English family. And at a very young age, she decided that she wanted to work with animals. And when she heard what a veterinary surgeon was, she decided that that was what she wanted to be. But it was the Victorian era, and girls and women were barely educated, and certainly aristocratic young women like Aileen were, it was unacceptable for them to work and seek professions. And her family were dead set against her doing anything. And this is the story of how Aileen Cust basically went against her family's wishes and worked her way into a veterinary college in Edinburgh, where she became where she graduated, and eventually became Britain and Ireland's first woman veterinary surgeon.
And I'm curious, do you remember how you first heard about Aileen Cust?
Yes, I didn't set about writing historical fiction at all. I've got a children's book which I published in 2017, and I'd written a work of contemporary fiction, and I was thinking about what I would write next. And as a child, I grew up on a farm here in South Africa, a dairy farm. And as a child, I always dreamt of becoming a veterinary surgeon. I'm a great animal lover. And when I was thinking about what I might write about again, I thought about writing about something set in a veterinary practice. I thought it would be an interesting setting. And talking to my daughter-in-law about my ideas, she actually suggested to me that I focus on a woman veterinary surgeon. So I started to do a little bit of research just to find out when women first became veterinary surgeons. And I came across Aileen Cust's story that way. And I was so taken by the story. I mean, it's an extraordinary story. And I couldn't believe that that no other author had written historical fiction about it. It just spoke to me. And that was where the story, where I came across the story, and it just seemed like something I could not write.
And I'm curious, what kind of research did you do for the novel? Were there any biographies or books written about?
Yes, there's a very small biography which was published in 1990 by a British a veterinary surgeon, another woman, who had retired as a veterinary surgeon, and she wrote a small biography about Aileen Cust, which was very much looking into the legal problems that Aileen had with the professional association. Because even when Aileen had graduated as a veterinary surgeon, the professional body wouldn't allow her to write their exams. So she was unable to be certified and practice legally. And it took her another 22 years before the professional body accepted her. They were obliged to by that point by law. But the biography that I came across, it was out of print, and I managed to find a copy in Britain and get it to South Africa. And it was an extraordinary piece of research, but very much into the legal battle that Aileen had to fight to be professionally accepted. There was a little bit about her private life, but mostly it was about her protracted battle with the professional association.
And I'm curious, what was your writing process like as you were working on The Invincible Miss Cust? Since this is a work of historical fiction, did you outline the novel extensively, or did you just kind of dive into the narrative? How did that work for you?
Yeah, I did. I did outline it, because once I began the research, and I did a fair amount of, I found some other books that were that had some information on her by her association. She was actually very close friends to the wife of Sir Edward Grey, who was Britain's foreign secretary when Britain entered into the First World War. And so there were some books written about her friendship with Dorothy Grey, and some newspaper articles about what happened to her family in Ireland. So once I started to see how she'd moved around as a young girl, and when she'd entered college and what have you, I was able to pinpoint the dramatic points of her life. And so I did plan it out that way. Certainly, as I wrote and more information came to light, there were changes along the way. But the story, I mean, her life story is so extraordinary that I mean, I keep on saying that the fictionary part of it is a very small part of it. Obviously, there was no public information about her conversations and her thoughts and her relationships. So those are the imagined pieces. But in terms of her family and her friendships and that, I was able to base it on truth.
That's great. Well, what was your initial fiction writing journey that led you to writing and getting your first novel published?
Well, I've been a journalist all my life, saying to my family for as long as I can remember, I'm going to write a book one day. And some years ago, my son actually said to me, "Well, stop talking about writing a book and do it." But although I've worked as a writer all my life, the idea of actually sitting down and working on such a long work of a long project and also I guess exposing yourself to something new was quite frightening. And so my son, I said to him, "Yeah, but you know, I'm really nervous about it." And he reminded me about a story that I told him while he was growing up about my grandmother and her life with a vervet monkey, which is a little gray monkey that we get in South Africa. And my grandmother rescued an orphaned monkey, and he lived in her house with her and her other pets for his entire life. And I'd grown up with that story myself. I told my son that story while he was growing up. And so he said to me, "Why don't you start by writing that story?" And the monkey's name was Nico. And so that was my first book. It's a children's chapter book. for children of sort of 8 to 12 years old. And I had such a wonderful experience with writing that book. I absolutely loved it. I loved writing. It was very easy for me, obviously, because it was a story I'd grown up with. But it was published by Penguin Random House here in South Africa. They got a fantastic illustrator to work on it, and it was a joy to work on. And I thought, oh, okay, well, this is not so difficult. So I decided to work on a work of literary fiction. And because the reading market, unfortunately, in South Africa is very small, so a local publisher advised me to try and find an agent outside of South Africa. And I worked on a piece of contemporary fiction, and I was offered representation by an American literary agent. So that was very exciting. But that work of that manuscript actually didn't sell. I sold another one in the interim to an American publisher called Cola Books at Virginia Beach, which was published last year. And then when I found this, the story of Aileen Cust, my agent at the time was not very enthusiastic about historical fiction. And we discussed a couple of other things, and I just felt the story was calling so loudly that I had to do it. And so she and I parted ways amicably, and I needed to find another agent. But while I was looking for another agent, I noticed that Source Books had opened a window for direct submissions, or one of the editors there, particularly for stories about women in history, women whose stories haven't been celebrated. So I knew Source Books because I'd come very close to selling the first manuscript to them. So I wrote her a note and asked her if she'd be willing to have a look at the historical fiction. And she agreed to look at it, and some months came back to me and said, we'd like to make you an offer, but we'd like to do it through an agent. So I was able to find another agent with an offer essentially in hand. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I've got a fabulous agent in San Diego, and I've been working with Source Books, which has been an absolute delight.
That's wonderful. So are you working on another novel now?
Yes. So the deal with Source Books is a two-book deal. So the next work is also a work of historical fiction, but it's in the early stages. So I'm not sure that I should say much about it at
sure,
this point.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious, what writing advice, given what you just talked about in terms of your own writing journey, what writing advice would you offer to those who are working on their own stories or novels?
Well, Jeff, one of the things that I've learned is that there's no one true way of being published. You know, I mean, my story was seemed to go one way and then went another way. And what I'd say is be brave, put yourself out there. Rejection is hard for everyone, but be prepared for it. But don't, if you absolutely love the process of writing and you're eager to be published, don't let anyone tell you that it's not possible, or that there's any one way to do it. You know, I've wanted to be traditionally published. Nothing. Particularly since operating in a small market here, I'm very eager to be published to reach a broader readership. But you know, there are different ways for different people, and it really is a case of being tough, I guess, and keeping at it until you don't. You know, I mean, for me, I absolutely love writing. I can't imagine doing anything else, and I find it very exciting to to think that, you know, that it's possible that that others might enjoy my work. So I'm driven by that. And you know, if that's how you feel as a writer, then just keep at it.
That's wonderful. Well, what books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
Books that I've read recently. I've been reading a lot of historical fiction for obvious reasons. I've been reading quite a bit of Kate Quinn, in fact. The Rose Code is one that I thoroughly enjoyed recently. The other one that I've finished recently. In fact, I normally have a book that I'm reading, and I also have an audio book which I'm listening to, because I sometimes run on the treadmill, and I find it wonderfully distracting to be listening to an audio book while I'm running on the treadmill. Otherwise, it's terribly boring. And the one that I've just recently finished reading was Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmus, which is a delightful historical fiction that's set during the 1960s, so not that long ago, but certainly a delightful book. Absolutely loved it. I've also recently read Elizabeth Strout's O William, and the one that I've got next to me at the moment is Mad Woman by Louisa Traeger, which is it's a historical fiction based on the life of journalist Nellie Bly.
That's great. Well, where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your novel, The Invincible Miss Cust?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, and I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Facebook, and all the places one has to be these days. And it's at Penny Hawes, P-E-N-N-Y, and then H-A-W. I've also got a website, which is pennyhall.com. So I'm there, and I'd love to engage with anyone who reads the book who would like to know anything more.
That's wonderful. Well, again, we've been speaking with Penny Hall, author of the new novel, The Invincible Miss Cust. The novel is on sale now, so go buy a copy. And Penny, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you very much, Jeff. It's been delightful. Thank you.
Save big money on plant protection supplies now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready-to-spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.